Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie
and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Big news today in the NBA. It doesn't look like any games will be played. The Bucks started it with what's gone on in Kenosha the last few days. What's going on in our country for so long. The issues that we have. They boycotted, and most of the teams are following suit here. It hasn't been official yet with Lakers, Trailblazers. But that's the report that they're leaning that way.
The OKC-Houston game was supposed to tip off at 5:30, and it's being reported that they will boycott that game as well.
Michael Wilbon will join us at 4:30. Here's the question I want to. There are people who believe that the Bears don't have a black quarterback because they don't want a black quarterback. And now it's been pointed out about Vince Evans. It's been pointed out about I covered Cordell Stewart the year that he was here. Lovie Smith is their head coach. Again, I understand all of these conversations and how people view it. I'm very uncomfortable when
I'm not even. I'm not dismissive of anybody's beliefs and feelings at all. I'm not dismissive one bit. I just don't agree. I don't agree. I think that they have been. I think Ryan Pace completely whiffed in the evaluation of the quarterback drafting. Right. I think every one of us thought that Deshaun Watson was the most likely candidate to be taken at that point. Like if you were inside football and you knew what Brett Veach knew about, you know, how he thought Patrick Mahomes' talent would unfold in Kansas City in that offense. I think most people had Deshaun Watson as the number one quarterback coming out of that draft.
Here's the point that I wanted to bring up, though. Jerry Jones won't speak out with what's going on. Jerry Jones still wants a compromise about the anthem. He doesn't understand, like, the commissioner has come around and, like, most of us have come around to say that players taking a knee, it's not about respecting the flag. It's not about the flag.
It's not about the military.
Right. It is about peacefully protesting an issue that needs to be corrected now, that needed to be corrected long ago. But so Jerry Jones does employ a black quarterback. Jerry Jones has Dak Prescott as his quarterback. Does that, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's very tough to say, well, this, you know, I look at Jerry Jones's actions, and then I look at George McCaskey's actions, where he's with Sam Acho, you know, in the city, trying to make things better with the things that he has spoken out against. And again, I don't know George well. But I do know that George has spoken out way more and has been with his players and what Sam Acho has told us way more than what Jerry Jones has chosen to do, who does employ a black quarterback.
I don't know what's in George's heart. I don't, as I said, and I'll repeat my perspective here. I don't believe that they didn't draft Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes because they didn't want a black quarterback. I believe Ryan Pace whiffed on the draft pick.
Yeah.
And I think that we have documented that. Listen,
and they have whiffed on the quarterback position for years.
I think asking the Chicago Bears players how they feel about their ownership and whether they agree with the sentiment that is being expressed by people in the Chicagoland community. I think, you know, George McCaskey would not dodge that question.
Right.
I don't believe.
We should effort George and get him on to respond to this because these are what some fans are saying. And I think he would want the
like I said, I can't tell you what I don't agree with that premise. It's my opinion that they evaluated incorrectly. They're bad at evaluating quarterbacks. It didn't have anything to do with the race of the quarterback. That's my opinion. But like I said, I don't know what's in George's heart. George can answer that for you.
Michael in Maywood, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Michael.
Hello, how you doing?
We're good.
That's good. You know, it's been a long-standing argument in the black community that the Bears never won a black quarterback. In the black community in Chicago, they've always felt that way, that Bears never wanted a black quarterback. And what they do is, yeah, they got Cordell Stewart and Vince Evans. They got them toward the end of their career when they basically had nothing to go along with them. You know, and this has been the perception of the Bears organization throughout the years. Not just last year, the other year when they didn't draft Cordell Stewart, Watson or the other guy.
Mahomes.
It's just been the perception of the Bears organization for years. And, you know, I'm 63 years old. I've been a Bears fan ever since I've been born. But that perception has always been there of the organization, whether it was the McCaskies or whether it was George Halas. That's just been the perception. And it has been, it just rears its ugly head whenever a black quarterback becomes successful that the Bears pass on.
Michael, let me ask you a question. And I'm asking, why would they trade for Khalil Mack and make him one of the highest paid players in the league and be comfortable with that if they had a bias against skin color? Why would they draft in the mid-70s when things were different, Walter Payton out of Jackson State, and make him the feature player in their offense? Why would they do all of that, but at quarterback, it would be different?
Because quarterback, they say quarterback is a thinking man's game. The quarterback is the thinker. Okay? So why would you draft a black quarterback if you think a black man cannot think? Okay? And that's the perception. I'm not saying that's the rule, but that's the perception, because we are not smart enough to play quarterback. And that's why you wouldn't just, yeah, you can give me the ball and I can run right, left, and up the middle. You can tell me go rush the quarterback, run straight and rush the quarterback. But you noticed the quarterback is always the highest paid player on the team. Okay? So if you feel that I cannot think fast enough or good enough, then no, you're not going to draft me as a quarterback.
Michael, let me ask another question. You said that you've been a diehard Bears fan for quite some time, right?
Yes, yes.
Is it hard to maintain being a fan of a team if, in fact, you believe that they won't have a black quarterback for the reasons you mentioned?
It's not hard for me because I always have hope. I believe God is always going to make a way. So it's not hard for me. I love my Bears, and people get on me about it all the time, you know. I love my Bears, but this is the perception. You Michael, know, it's like voting. You know, it's like voting. As a black man, you always have to pick the best of the two evils. Well, since the Chicago Cardinals left Chicago, the best of two evils is my Bears. Okay?
Michael, thank you for the call. Yeah, thank you.
It's a conundrum because to maintain being a fan of a franchise that you think at its core is racist, like I said, it's an interesting conundrum to have to deal with.
Sean in Melrose Park.
Oh, this well, we have more is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
What do you guys have?
The NBA has officially canceled all games today per the league office, so no games today in the NBA. It's official now.
So we'll see what Adam Silver.
I would assume he would have some sort of announcement or statement at some point
press
later this afternoon.
Or something,
yeah, the NBA players have called for a meeting tonight in Orlando to discuss what to do going forward.
Right, they
well.
Want action in yeah. Kenosha is what they want. That's what I think they're going to say. That it, you know, maybe until the police officer who shot him, shot Jacob Blake, will be brought to justice. That they may not play till then. So we'll see. Also, one other note, Lucas Giolito is going to join us this afternoon as well, between now and 6 o'clock. Sean in Melrose, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to say that I feel like I agree with both Ted and Tom. I think there's elements involved, you know, including both of their thoughts. And that's that... obviously, we can see that they're bad quarterback evaluators. We know that they've showed a history of that. The not so obvious would be that it is possible that at the top, you know, ownership, they may feel the way that Ted and the rest of the fellas that he's at the bar with feel. And you know, I could put it like this: if by evaluation they had Trubisky and Deshaun Watson neck and neck, and it was kind of even to the evaluators, and coming from the top, they decided that they wanted to go with that All-American look, that quarterback that looks the part, you know, in their mind. I think that's gone on in NFL history forever. I think Mike hit on it, too, with that it was always thought that black quarterbacks were just going to run the ball, and they weren't capable of running an offense. So if you felt that, you know, that's the way ownership felt, whether they thought that that's who they could identify with, was that All-American look, or if they felt that they could, for whatever reason, they could market him better, then I think us denying that ownership still feels that way, or there are ownerships out there that feel that way, is, like you said, it's fraudulent and it's denying a tough conversation. But I think there's definitely ownerships out there. Whether or not it's the Bears, I don't know. But I can see where Mike and Ted and the rest of the fellas would feel that way, because we've seen it. It's been going on forever. Growing up, that was always the talk about black quarterbacks. Well, they may run and get you a few games, but they're not smart enough to lead the offense and be a true quarterback. So it's been out there. So to think that it just disappeared, I think is denying it. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, and it's the reason why, as I said before, in no way, shape, or form am I or Sylvie or anyone attached to this show being dismissive of how Michael or Ted or Faye feels. I can disagree with the decision, but in no way am I being dismissive of their feelings and their perspective.
Dave's in Tampa. Dave, you're on ESPN 1000. Dave?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Sorry.
We're good.
Hey, excellent. Hey, I just wanted to kind of, I'm a white guy, and I just kind of wanted to bring up the point, too, that, you know, a lot of this racism isn't intentional. You know, Ryan Pace is, you know, a white guy brought up probably in college and all that. And it's just, you know, sometimes it's ingrained in you through society and families. And, you know, you don't even know you're doing it. So when it comes down to it, just like the last guy said, if the grading is equal or similar, it's just easier to go with somebody that looks like you, talks like you, acts like you, and is going to fit in better. It's the same thing in corporate America. And I think as white people, we really need to start listening, not defending, not arguing, not even worrying about giving your own opinion. I think you really just got to listen. These people have been persecuted for so long, and I think it's pretty obvious. And I didn't believe until recently that police would pull them over for no reason. But now that I hear all these stories and see video, it's pretty obvious what's going on. So I just think we just, as a country, if we want to be a better country and, you know, a greater country, we need to start listening to the minorities and trying to work with them and giving them more opportunities. So, but I love you guys. Great show. And always good to listen to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Good opinions. 312-332-3776. We'll continue to listen to you. Michael Wilbon will tell us what he thinks was the breaking news. No NBA games today. The Bucks started it with a boycott. Other teams followed suit. The NBA now has canceled all games for today. We'll get to Wilbon at 4:30. Guys, it's a summer of excitement with my friends at your Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Absolutely love Toyota. Was reintroduced to the brand a couple of years ago with the rebuilt RAV4. It's the official vehicle of the Chicago Cubs. And you know Javi's got more swag than anybody. Guess what he drives? A Toyota. So keep it wild this summer with the summer of excitement. How about the 4Runner, wild and rugged? You can take charge as well in the 2020 Camry with available all-wheel drive. Explore more and go farther in that stylish RAV4 I was telling you about, or the fuel-efficient RAV4 Hybrid, or cruise with your crew in the roomy Highlander. hybrid with electric on-demand all-wheel drive. Soak it up this summer. Toyota, right now, how about 1.9% APR for 60 months on a new 2020 RAV4 or RAV4 hybrid? Visit your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer or go to toyota.com to learn more. 1.9% APR financing for 60 months with $1,748 per $1,000 borrowed on approved credit from Toyota Financial Services. Does not include taxes, license, title, registration fees, and dealer fees. Does not include college grad or military rebate. Varies by region. See dealer for details. Offer ends 8/31/20.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We are opening up the phone lines for you with the developments in the NBA. With what's happened to Jacob Blake, with what's happened in Kenosha, right in our backyard, with what's happened in this country for years and years, and how it's got to stop. You know, it was a day that started with a Lucas Giolito conversation, and Lucas will join us before 6. Sox have confirmed that. He threw a no-hitter. The Sox win again today, but the big news now, the breaking news, is that the NBA will not play today. Started with the boycott of the Bucks.
They're using their voices and their platform to express themselves and to tell everybody out there that this is more important than a basketball game.
And then when we got into the, we had a Bears panel today of 7 writers wondering who's going to win the job. Will it be Trubisky or Foles? Who's winning now? Who's going to win? Most of the writers said that Foles has a slight edge now, but in a 4-3 decision, Trubisky, they believe, will get the start. And that prompted then some callers calling and saying this is ridiculous, that they would make it Trubisky against Foles. And then it's been brought out, like it's been brought up a bunch lately, especially that there's a belief among some in the community that the Bears don't want a black quarterback. So people have called in and given us their thoughts. Our callers have been given the floor. It's something that we've always promised to give you on our show. Whether it's big picture issues like this one or just talking about sports like we do best. 332-3776. Jason is in Savannah, Georgia. Jason, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Just to start off real quick, I just wanted to say, obviously, I'm not trying to change anyone's perceptions. You're completely entitled to that. But what I do want to do is just talk about real quick some of the arguments. Go after those real quick. To say that we should have taken Mahomes or Watson, given what we know now, is just a post hoc analysis. That doesn't make sense. They weren't evaluated at that level coming out. No one would have taken them at the second pick. So to say everyone that didn't take them is essentially racist to use stats to apply to an argument. And in terms of Watson and Winston and Cam Newton, if they were such quality, they wouldn't have been on the market to begin with. But I think the one argument that actually angered me was saying that we're supposed to be elevating the African-American community, but in the same tone, the putting down what Lovie Smith did. I mean, last time I checked, he was the only coach to ever get us to a Super Bowl. So it feels like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth if you're saying he was just simply a token black coach for our team.
I think Lovie Smith
was said by a caller, right?
Yeah, I think Lovie Smith, was a fantastic coach in the National Football League. I think at the end, what did they miss the postseason? 5 out of 6, the last 6 seasons, and that's why they made the change. But I thought Lovie Smith always carried himself as a dignified leader of that organization at all times.
You know, and the thing, and someone brought this up, I was talking to Chris during the break, the maddening thing and the reason, the ineptitude, the not doing your job, and this is what angered me so much about the quarterback search. I get it. A lot of people will say, well, look, Watson on the mocks or Mahomes on the mocks.
Everyone has always said Mitch was collectively consensus number one quarterback on the board.
But my point is, when you don't do the job thoroughly and when you decide that you want to give a personal workout to Mitch and dine with Mitch, and you want to give a personal workout with Mahomes, dine with Mahomes, when you don't do the due diligence on Watson, you open up the discussion to whys, the why, right? Yeah. That's what Matt Nagy always says. Hey, let's get to the bottom. Well, why? Why wouldn't you? Why was it such a waste of time? Why you would give an individual workout to Deshaun Watson, who 2 years in a row on a national stage carved up Alabama's defense.
Basically an historic NFL defense.
Right. Why wouldn't you want to sit down with him and talk to him? So, I mean,
that invites skepticism for sure.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Can you introduce the next caller too? Because I got my call screener went blank here at home, Waddle.
Who are we going to next? I don't know who's been waiting
the
longest.
Let's go to
Adam.
Kalita in Phoenix.
Kalita, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm a big fan of the show. I wanted to bring a slightly different perspective to you on the Deshaun Watson question. And as a Black American, a Black person, I'm not saying that I'm speaking on behalf of all of us, but I am speaking on behalf of myself and the other Black Bears fans that I've talked to in the past about this. And for us, the racial issue comes up because we're seeing a lot of what we've experienced in real life exemplified by the Bears with the Deshaun Watson search. Sylvie, you hit it right on the head. The question is, when you look at the resume in college, you know, national champion, multiple different types of awards, Heisman Trophy, ACC Player of the Year, ACC Offensive Player of the Year, what is it that in the decision-making process where we're seeing, and we've lived it, where it seems that we have to have a resume out of this world in order to get a door opened. But then with Deshaun Watson, we saw that the door didn't even really open for him with the Bears, not in any genuine way. They were the first team that year that really had a needed quarterback. And so we question the process, and we think that the process is way more indicative of the issue here. It's not necessarily outright racism by the people. But, you know, it could be implicit bias. But that's why we always bring up the racial topic, because when something doesn't make sense, when it's illogical, you know, the question becomes why. And you said that before. And unfortunately, in this country's history and what we've seen lived out ourselves, a lot of these times in the workplace, it becomes a question of, well, why does he have the potential but not the person with the resume? The Black person with the resume. Why are you overlooking his flaws, but Deshaun Watson's flaws are so strong that he's done everything right. He's done everything right in his college career, and he can't get a real interview. It exemplifies something very personal for us. And so I think that, you know, some of the other callers kind of hit on a couple of different things, but I do want to stress the point that I don't believe it's actual racism at the forefront, but it exemplifies some of the hurdles that we live out in real life in different industries. When we saw Deshaun Watson not even get an interview with the first team in the draft that really needed a quarterback that year. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Just to refresh my memory, did they go through the same process with Mahomes that they did with Mitch?
Yes, it was those two. According to Dan Weider's article, it was those two that they elected.
But they failed to do that.
And the article stated that when they went down to Clemson, it seemed like it was all for show, and it wasn't really too.
They just went to his personal workout where the NFL was.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And I, like, again, like, it bothers me with any interview for whatever reason, and I'm not saying it was because of this or that. My big thing has always been due diligence. Whether you're Garin Pax and you know that Fred Hoiberg's going to be your job and you don't go through a coaching search, or then you realize Fred Hoiberg's not the job, and without even doing an interim tag on Boylan and going through a process in interviewing the five best candidates, you just make him the head coach.
Without an interview process.
It made no sense
that they would go through this process with Mitch and with Mahomes, but not with Watson as well.
Michael Wilbon joins us coming up in a few minutes.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle 87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Boy, a lot going on today. Some deep stuff. Some fun stuff as well, as the White Sox just keep on winning. We have been told that Lucas Giolito will call in about 6 minutes from now, 4:40 the time. So It is something. We had him on last Thursday.
I was going to say, we need to pitch to him that we're good luck for him.
Right. The last time, Lucas, we had you on, 13 strikeouts, and then you threw a no-hitter.
Yeah. I mean,
now you had 13 strikeouts. That means you're going to throw a second no-hitter.
Right. I know your stuff is good, and I know that McCann was outstanding behind the plate, but can we get a little bit of love for what you accomplished?
We're your James McCann of radio hosts.
Yeah.
You know how you have the bond with James McCann behind the plate? You never shake him off?
Yeah.
We're your James McCann.
Yeah, I think we are.
On the radio.
I think that's a good way to describe it.
So, Michael Wilbon, I now believe, is going to join us closer to his regular 5 o'clock time. So, and then the big news of the day is there will be no NBA games today. Boys, we still haven't heard from Adam Silver, have we, about a statement or what the league is going to do other than just saying there are no games. It started with a boycott from the Milwaukee Bucks, and now the league has canceled all the – what were there? There were 3 games today, correct?
Yeah, the Thunder and the Rockets, and then the Blazers-Lakers, the late game. Yeah, the league has announced that the games are postponed. No specific release from Adam Silver, and no release on how they're going to make the games up in the future either.
I'm sure Adam Silver at some point tonight. I would be very surprised if the NBA front office didn't, and Adam Silver didn't have a statement before, you know.
It's always a unified front.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the thing about the NBA is we've learned that they listen to their players, that it's more of a partnership than any of the leagues we've seen.
Look, this was a collaborative effort from all 6 teams. Today, to speak to the point that you just made, it's not just the Orlando and Milwaukee game. Oklahoma City, Houston, Portland, Los Angeles, collectively, they all decided today was not the day to play basketball and that there's a more important issue at hand than playing a playoff basketball game.
And also keep your eyes on Milwaukee as well. The Brewers and the Reds play tonight at 7:10, and there are reports out of Milwaukee that Brewers are talking about not playing that baseball game as well.
Is that game in Milwaukee?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that at NBA, all the players are going to meet in the bubble tonight to discuss how they'll proceed after today.
There was some, if I read some tweets correctly earlier in the day before this decision was made, I think Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics had some very strong comments about questioning whether or not the right thing for him to do was to actually leave the bubble and step away from basketball. I don't know if he has commented on that any further, but I know
I believe Jaylen Brown, when the protests were taking place in June, he drove to Atlanta.
Yes,
yeah, he was out there.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. Trey on the Trey in South Shore. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Trey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're good.
Yeah, I just saw there's a lot of really good calls coming in, and I just wanted to point out that, you know, me personally, I don't think that the Bears organization is racist or anything like that. I just think they make bad decisions. And Mitch was brought in because of familiarity. Ryan Pace was just familiar with him, was so comfortable with him, and it was crazy that he didn't even give Deshaun Watson a chance. That's just mind-boggling. But, I just don't think the organization was racist or anything like that. Just because if Mitch was good, would we even be talking about this? So if Mitch was any good and he lived up to the expectations of a number 2 pick, this wouldn't be in a question if, why didn't they bring in a black quarterback or anything? Because he's bad.
And Patrick Mahomes had his career wasn't as decorated as that of Deshaun Watson, who we saw on the biggest stage under the brightest lights play better than anybody. But Patrick Mahomes had himself a hell of a career at Texas Tech.
So, with yards, yeah, right.
I mean,
and you see some of the throws now they show you in college. And then I know, they got beat by Iowa State, I want to say, in, one of their last games, and that left a bad taste in his mouth. But you could see the highlight package. There are some unbelievable throws he made in college, too. And I say to myself, why didn't they see this?
Exactly. But the thing is, they did see it. And, I mean, both of those quarterbacks were clearly better. I mean, the eye test, everything, which is just like it's just so mind-boggling. Like, how they just picked Mitch over those, especially Watson. with what he did against Alabama.
You know what, Trey? Yeah, what we constantly hear is that Ryan Pace thought Mitch could be the next coming of Drew Brees.
Well, that's maybe where. And it's something that we poke fun at.
Right.
But maybe that's his biggest flaw is, like, he just thinks – someone sent us an article to laugh at, too, from 2017.
Right.
Where it was – the article was termed, like, how the Bears are turning into New Orleans. When you only know New Orleans and you can't think out of the box other than the box that you were just in, you know, you want to do everything the same way as New Orleans.
Well, and listen, I'm not defending him because I think, you know, you saw my face when they announced that Mitchell Trubisky had been – they had moved up and they had him traded for him. But, I mean, if he was locked in on thinking that he was going to be the next Drew Brees, he was sadly mistaken.
Yes, he was. You know what wasn't mistaken is how dominant Lucas Giolito was. He threw a no-hitter last night. The White Sox had no letdown after the Cubs series, thanks to Lucas. They had no letdown today in the Heat. Boy, those bats were hitting. They beat the Pirates yet again this afternoon. And Lucas Giolito, for the second time in a week, joins his James McCann of radio hosts, Waddle and Sylvie, on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Lucas.
What's going on, guys?
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That was fun.
How are you feeling, you know, what, 12, 18 hours later?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little bit tired. I stayed up pretty late last night, but I was happy, energized by our win today. The bats were hot. And so nice little off day tomorrow. I'm actually going to come in and get a lot of work done in the morning, though. So today is more relaxing.
Lucas, when you reflect and you look at your phone and you read the text messages and the tweets, did anyone tweet you or text you that you were surprised about?
I honestly, I haven't looked too deeply into that stuff yet. I don't think I've noticed anyone that, like, really surprised me yet.
It's early, though. We could still have somebody that surprised you. When you look back at where you were and where you are now, Lucas, what do you think?
It's been a long road. It's been a tumultuous one, but I wouldn't change anything. You know, I'm the pitcher I am now because of the struggles I went through early in my career. I wholeheartedly believe in that. It kind of took me, you know, not having or getting my ass kicked, not losing confidence in myself, having to build it all back up, kind of retooling, changing a bunch of things, exiting my comfort zone to kind of refine myself as a pitcher, and I'm happy for that process.
If you looked at video from yourself in 2018 and put that next to video now, how differently would you see in terms of your mechanics?
Well, the mechanics are very much different. I cleaned up my arm action and I found a better way to ride down the mound with my legs, which not only helps with making my stuff better as far as velocity and movement, but consistency, being able to throw strikes more consistently. But the biggest thing that I notice, if I were to, like, put 18 and 19 next to each other, is the focus, the demeanor, all the stuff that you don't really see, you know, visually right out in front.
Lucas Giolito joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I heard you say, I think it was on the Van Pelt interview, that you knew after the seventh that you really, that it was a focus, the no-hit bid. When did you, if at all, when did you say to yourself, wow, my stuff is great tonight?
I don't know if I ever had, like, a, I'd say, like, the first inning, nice, quick, like, 9, 10, 11 pitch inning. Second inning also quick. That's when I noticed that my stuff was working well. They were off balance early when I would mix in off-speed breaking ball. And so at first it was like, okay, I have a really nice complete game pace. But then it kind of shifted into the no-hitter as it went on.
Did you ever feel like the enormity of the situation for you personally was ever going to get the best of you? Or did you remain calm and peaceful throughout?
I tried to just do what I do. I'm not like the most calm and peaceful person when I'm pitching. I pace around in the dugout a lot. I like to talk to guys. I like to cheer on our hitters. That's just me being myself. I'm not the type of guy that like changes personalities when I pitch or anything like that. I'll raise the intensity, but I just tried to continue to be myself and, you know, do whatever mental prep I needed to do going into the next inning to maintain my focus on one pitch at a time.
So is it weird for you, like, this is the old baseball tradition, like, no one talks to the pitcher then. When you got the no-hitter, all of a sudden, like, all these superstitions take over. Is that weird to you when you look back on it?
No, I didn't notice, like, in particular, like, the other guys or the coaches were like acting weird towards me. You know, it was relatively normal considering what was going on, I guess you could say.
How important was James McCann to what you were able to accomplish last night?
Hugely important. I don't think that would have happened if he wasn't behind the dish catching me. The relationship we have is amazing. He called a hell of a game. I shook him off once just because I felt like throwing a fastball. There wasn't like any thought behind it. And then we ended up getting that guy anyways. He was in complete control back there, reading their swings, reading their approach, and, you know, just doing his job really, really well.
So that's one. Is that one shakeoff in the last two games for McCann?
I believe so.
So what was it about that, and when did you know that, like, you have this relationship when he comes over last year, that I've got this trust in James McCann?
I think we started to build it during spring training, a lot of conversations. I immediately really liked his targets for me, just like the way he sets up behind home plate. It made me feel comfortable. And then it just kept building from there, start after start.
Was there an emotional moment for you last night, whether it's calling your family, calling your dad who posted a picture of you way back when, calling your wife? You told us about FaceTiming your wife and how hard that's been being away from her. What was the most emotional you got last night?
I'd say... The emotions were definitely heightened right after it happened. Talking with my parents, my wife, that was great. With Ari in particular, we had kind of a rough couple of days. Our beloved dog, Louie, had to go to the emergency room. We were worried about some stuff going on. He had some like swelling in his lymph nodes. We were worried it could possibly be cancer. But luckily that all came back negative. So he's recovering now. So I'm very close to Louie. Ari's like on a whole nother level of close to Louie. So it was, that was nice to be able to do that, and have that bit of relief kind of mixed in for sure.
Good news all around.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, Lucas, when the ball comes off of Gonzalez's bat for that final out?
Oh man, that was, it was very, very scary. When I released the pitch, I could already feel that I pulled it down. That pitch was supposed to be well above the strike zone. I could feel that I yanked it. And then I saw hard contact to the right side on a low line drive. And I immediately thought it was going to be a base hit. But luckily, we have one of the best outfielders in the game patrolling right field for me last night, and he was able to get an amazing read on it and grab it.
How about the play all around? I mean, it was sparkling from Tim Anderson, and then Abreu with the pick out of the dirt, too, that saved it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what no-hitters are all about. You know, the pitcher gets a lot of credit, notoriety, but it's all about that like one, two, or three like special plays that happen in the game. The defense behind me was just spectacular. I can't say enough about how hard those guys have worked on their defense over the last few years. That play, TA ranging to his right, Pito an amazing pick on kind of like a medium hop. It was that was really, really cool.
You guys have now won 9 out of 10. How good is the vibe with you guys overall right now?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yeah, we're having a ton of fun. This is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball, hands down. I haven't been on a winning team in a very long time. And so for us to be able to like do this together, so many of these guys, we're very, very close. We've kind of grown up together in the big leagues, and now putting it all together, we're just having a blast.
Lucas, you know, you usually could feel the buzz grow following a team. Like early in the season, crowds would be down and the better you would do. Now sellouts are happening. With no fans in the stands, is there still a way for you to feel the buzz in this city and the love that the fans are having for your team right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you see ESPN posting stuff about the White Sox, then you know that it's starting to actually happen. And so that's one thing. The fans, like, even though they're not here in person, like seeing their love on social media, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be, we know they're here with us in spirit every time we take the field.
I know you didn't pitch in the series this weekend up on the north side, but was there a little extra juice in your dugout for that series with the Cubs?
Yeah, I think there's always that little bit of chip on your shoulder. That was a really fun series. I'm glad we won it. Even that third game, we were just one really, really good starting pitcher away from sweeping there. So whenever we play the Cubs, it's always a lot of fun. It kind of heightens the excitement a bit just throughout the whole city.
I believe like a quarterback for his offensive line, a guy who throws a no-hitter has to buy his catcher or other teammates like a gift. Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I've started to think about it. I still have to decide, what we're going to do. There's a few things I have to look up, see what guys like.
That's awesome. And then because he's okay, he homered today. Was there any sort of poking fun at Aloy? Because like 5 seconds after you're celebrating, there's concern over Aloy being down, and it sort of, for a few seconds, dampened the spirit there.
Yeah, I kind of noticed. I look over to my left. I'm like, oh no, what happened? But luckily it was just kind of a little mishap. And as you could see, he was totally fine today. So, we got to be careful. There's a lot of big bodies moving around next to each other.
As a pitcher, do you have any sympathy at all for the opposing team facing your lineup on a day in and day out?
No, I don't have any sympathy. Okay. I'm just thankful that I'm on this team, man.
Yeah. Lucas, I look, this is a deeper question, but I ask you this out of respect and because of the way you've taken part in a lot of the things going on in our world today, in the city with Sam Acho not too long ago, with what's happened now in Kenosha, with the NBA. I don't know if you're even aware of this. The NBA is not playing today. The players have boycotted, so all three games have been canceled. How important is it for you to understand what's going on and to be in the forefront of change currently?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not happy with, how things have been going in this country. I stand with all those guys, all the guys in the NBA boycotting right now. It's tough, man. It's tough. We got to see things get better here. I want to see, everyone in this country be treated equally. That's just not the case right now with what's going on. And that's something that's always going to be at the front of my mind for sure.
Lucas, we appreciate your time. As we said, 13 strikeouts in your last outing. You joined us on Thursday.
Right.
And then you threw a no-hitter. You struck out 13 this last time.
We'll talk to you in a couple of days.
Yeah, so, this means we're expecting another no-no, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Lucas. There you go. Lucas Giolito, he's awesome. He's really a down-to-earth dude, and that's why it's easy, like, for me, who's a Cubs fan who doesn't root for the Sox, to be rooting for Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, and as you said, today there was no letdown. They scored 10 runs today, and they were hitting dingers. I mean, there were how many dingers? 5 dingers today?
It's incredible. And look, it's a sign of a maturing team.
Yeah.
It's easy for a young team to go out and do something big against a good team and then to get full of yourself. Like you said, handling success sometimes is hard. But this team right now is just, he said, they love to play baseball, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah. It's a good
story.
So,
Lucas Giolito, great. Thanks to the White Sox and to Lucas for joining us today. Michael Wilbon is going to be joining us here coming up at 5:00.